Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Coming up at 5:30, check the clock. What time is it again? Right. 5:30. We will let you hear from Logan and me. Great conversation this morning about Jaden Daniels and kind of where the offense can go in 2025 if things go well. Obviously, in 2030, the Commanders are hoping to go to RFK Stadium, which brings us to a non-traditional version of today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
So the whole origin story of this segment was that I used to be a beat reporter who covered the Commanders, and now I'm not. So we get other people on who are experts. Well, today's top story, we're going to cover with the help of a couple of different experts, some reporting from the folks at the Washington Post, and some sound bites from our guy Mark Seagraves, NBC4 investigative reporter, who was on with B. Mitch and Finley yesterday. We start with the Post. Where the headline says DC City Council members need more time, or say, DC Council members say stadium approval is likely, but they need more time. It's a story by Jenny Gathright with contributions by Megan Flynn. Megan's been on the show before. But here's how the story starts, and this is the context of which we operate today. D.C. council members are working toward approving a football stadium for the Washington Commanders at the shuttered RFK Stadium site, but probably not by Mayor Muriel E. Bowser's deadline in July, several lawmakers said this week. The prospect of the council delaying a vote on the $3.7 billion deal has the team, quote unquote, outraged, Bowser said this week, and, quote, sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table and $2.7 billion in private investment. Bowser has wanted the council to approve the deal with the Commanders as part of the council's fiscal year 2026 budget process, and the commander said this week that any delay beyond that threatens the team's construction timeline. Okay, so that is the facts on the ground, or I should say the stated positions, because the council, to close this out, says, hey, there's $1 billion of taxpayer money in this. We want more time to review the particulars. And the city is like, we don't have time. And the council is like, well, we don't know. And by the way, I think the other interesting part of this is a lot of people on the council side are like, we don't know the particulars, so we don't know even where to go. Like, you're throwing these numbers at us. We don't know where they came from. So we don't know how to make tweaks to make this thing better. And the council and the city is like, well, and the team is like, we'll work on whatever you want to make it better. And so the city, I think, has done a tremendous job. And by the city, I mean the mayor's office and the team, of putting the council, frankly, in a terrible spot. they have played the politics of this very, very well. This is very popular. Everyone wants to get it done. They are pushing to get it done. And by doing this in the way they have, whether this was the intent or not, they have kind of set up the council to be in a no-win situation by simply doing their due diligence and jobs. While there are certainly a lot of people that will appreciate them trying to get more details so that they then can make it a better deal for the city, they're now the breaks, and that's a bad place to be if you are playing the political game. So yesterday, C. Graves on with JP was asked the simple question of, like, is this actually a substantive squabble or is this a political squabble?
So it is no secret that Mayor Bowser and Chairman Mendelson don't play well in the sandbox. They don't get along on a lot of things. On some things, they very, you know, we're lucky in D.C. in the sense that it's basically a democratic city, a liberal city, and everybody agrees on most things. And so there's not a lot of quibbling over most things. But when you get down into minutiae and budgets and how money is spent, that's where they start to have disagreements. Mendelson and Bowser will be up for re-election. Mendelson could face some serious opposition this time around. And so, it is unfortunate that they don't have the best of relationships. The chairman has hired Robert Bob, who is a former city administrator under Tony Williams years ago and has enjoyed many, many government contracts since. And now he's been hired by the council to kind of mediate this landscape between the mayor and the chairman and the commanders. And, I expect what you'll see is that Mendelson will make some tweaks, particularly around the community benefits package, which was very vague in the original contract. Again, when you look back at the baseball thing, after the no vote by Linda Kropp, they came back and the community benefits package had the youth baseball academy that we still have over in Ward 7 that Vince Gray was able to get out of those negotiations. So that's what I would look for. The commanders are prepared to prop up the community benefits package. I think if they start toying with things of real substance that would cost the commanders money, like one of the things that I've been pointing to from day one are these seat licensing agreements, man. And I got to tell you, your listeners, if they plan on being season ticket holders for the commanders when they come to Washington, D.C., and they find out they're going to have to pay a seat licensing fee that could be anywhere from thousands to tens of thousands of dollars up front just for the privilege of buying you tickets at another cost, that's going to make a lot of people very, very unhappy. And so, but it's a hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that the team is counting on. Just like naming rights for the stadium. These are things that the city owns because they own the land and the stadium that they're giving to the commanders. So you start tinkering with those big ticket items, and that could be problematic. But again, if I'm betting on this, I at the end of the day, I think 2030, we're kicking off at RFK Stadium.
So that was Mark Seagraves with B. Mitch and Finley yesterday. The other big item on the docket potentially is rent. There is a provision in this current proposal that the commanders will pay $1 in rent. You heard me correctly, $1 in rent. And I'm curious if the city's like, well, what if we made that? I mean, surely the rent is probably worth millions, but even thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, something that does move the budget, but it creates real revenue for the city without moving the bottom line or the top line number. Because, like, yes, $100,000. Let's say that $1 comes $100,000, right? This is just fun with numbers here. If that becomes $100,000, that is 1/10 of a million. And we're talking about $2.7 billion. And remember, 1,000 millions is a billion. So we are talking a minuscule percentage of money, but that's still $100,000 for the city. Nevertheless, if it's $500,000 or $1 million. So I think that is going to be something that the city's got to look at. And certainly certain council members have already flagged and as reported in the Post is like, hey, this doesn't exactly sit right with me. Something to keep an eye on in this situation. One more for Seagraves here, he was asked about the possibility of a delay. And this is something that I think is a very real threat, by the Commanders and by Bowser, but also could be a bit of an empty hammer hanging over their heads. Ultimately, we know the team wants to be at RFK. So if they have to delay a little bit and there's still a window to get this done before the 2030 season, then it seems like there should be more wiggle room than is being presented. But if realistically they cannot delay and they're saying, hey, it's 2030 at RFK, or we're going to start get a deal done quickly with Maryland and we can start building on that land tomorrow because we own it and the construction timeline works to have us a new home by 2030, then this does feel like the biggest threat in terms of this deal actually getting done. So how realistic is the idea that the council is going to get more time here?
Right now, we don't have a good... We know, for instance, Brooke Pinto has come out and said uncategorically, no delay. Do the whole package on July 15th. You had Zach Parker come out and say the exact opposite. And his, I think, was the most telling statement, because what he went so far as to say is that he is open to delaying it until September or October to vote. And see, this is why it's so important for these meetings to be open to the public, and why the public should care about these open meeting laws, is because we have no idea what these 12 people talked about behind those closed doors, because we weren't allowed to be there. So we don't know what the chairman proposed for the council to vote on. We know what some of them have said coming out of that meeting. And the most telling, again, is Zach Parker saying he's open to a delay that could be as long as September, October. That becomes a real delay. When you talk about construction costs, construction deadlines, timelines, delaying it a few weeks or a month isn't going to kill anybody. You build those kinds of delays into your plan. Delaying it by 2, 3, 4 months, that's a lot, and a lot can change. Look at tariffs, right? Every day the cost of construction materials goes up and down because of the threat of tariffs. And so the Commanders definitely do not want a delay that would go into the fall before, knowing that it's going to be approved. So the next time we'll get a real keen idea of what's going to happen will be this Wednesday. On Wednesday, the council holds its public hearing on what is called the Budget Support Act. And that's where all the nitty gritty stuff is. And so we'll learn a lot more based on the council members' questions and public statements. They won't take any votes on this day, but it'll be a public hearing, and we'll hear from public witnesses. I don't know if we'll hear from the Commanders, and I can tell you the mayor has not been invited to testify. Her chief of staff has, but kind of a thumb in her eye, the chairman has decided not to invite the mayor for the first time ever to testify on her own budget. But Wednesday we'll have a better idea of where the 12 council members stand.
So tomorrow, a big day, of course, the biggest day, July 15th, that's the deadline. And that is a real deadline, by the way. That is not a fake. Now, they can agree to amend it, the Commanders and the mayor's office. But if there is not a done deal by July 15th with city council approval, the Commanders can reopen negotiations. And specifically, Maryland would be hopping in saying, hey, let's get this done. We love having you. We would appreciate the things you're going to do if you leave for RFK, but we'd like to have you more. And that's when the pressure turns back up on DC and for the Commanders to get something done. So we'll have more on this tomorrow and Friday. We're off on Thursday, but we'll have more on this as the week goes after that meeting. Maybe even check in with Seagraves on it. And there will be more later this week. For the full interview with Seagraves on B. Mitch and Finley, search B. Mitch and Finley wherever you get your podcasts. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, some story time from Anthony from the weekend. Our boy rode a train for the first time. How'd it go? We'll discuss next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show coming up in 10 minutes. Logan Paulson and I talking about what happens if Jaden Daniels gets better this year. What does that even look like after he was a MVP caliber player last year? We will tell you at 5:30 and what it means for the Commanders. 6 o'clock. What are we doing at 6 o'clock again, Anthony?
At 6
o'clock. It'd be really cool if I just, you know, occasionally would, instead of asking that out loud, just pull up the rundown and, you know, be an adult who hosts a radio show for a living. What are we doing at 6 o'clock, producer of the show?
That's a great question, but now I got the answer for you, Craig. So at 6 o'clock, we will be talking about, the NBA Finals roster. We'll be doing a roster exercise.
Yeah, I've been waiting to do this. I'm pretty excited about it. I've had this thought multiple times in the last couple of weeks watching the Thunder and the Pacers, but it's like, where do all these dudes come from? And is it different than most other NBA Finals rosters? And especially in recent memory, and is this the new normal? So we'll go inside that thought exercise at 6 o'clock. Talk a little Kevin Durant trade stuff in the 6 o'clock hour as well. But we start now, or not start now, we continue now, with story time with producer Anthony Haney. Anthony, when we last left our hero, it's you. You're the hero. It was about 6:50 something on Friday night. We had just Rebecca blacked our way into the weekend, and you had an Uber that was ready to take you to Union Station and catch a train. Our show ended at 6:55. Your train was at 7:12.
Yep.
And how'd it go?
So actually went pretty well. I rushed out of here downstairs to my Uber that was on L Street, and he was already facing the direction to get on the highway. So I'm like, all right, dude, like, that's step one. Step two, we had to get in the car, and he sees me running. He's outside of his car, like, cleaning the window. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, all right, dude, we got to go. And then he asked me, like, are we behind? I said, yeah, we're behind. We should have been there 5 minutes ago. He was like, all right, bet, say no more. When I tell you,
understood the mission.
When I tell you, he strapped his seatbelt in and was gone. I said, this is my guy. Extra stars, And I'm going to give you a tip.
Six stars and a tip.
Yes. So we end up pulling up to Union Station. I want to say, so when before I left, it said it was going to take us about like 10 minutes to or like 12 minutes to get to Union Station. He got me there in about 7. He got me there in about 7 minutes. He dropped me off right in front of Union Station at the crosswalk. I literally just jogged across because I was there. So I'm like, I got 10 minutes to spare. I know where I'm going. So I jog across. There's people setting up, you know, political stuff. So, you know, I just bypass that.
Yeah.
And then I walk in and I just walk to the back. And then I find an attendant and I'm like, yo, I'm going to New York. Where do I go? And she was like, 112. I said, no, 191. I said, yep. And then she points me there. I walk around. There was not a line of people, Craig. So I think I think they were already on the train. And they were, because when I got on the train, I just kept walking from train to train.
Which I told you, right? I told you.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is important to point out at this point in the story, since Anthony just dove all the way in, this is Anthony's first time ever on an Amtrak train.
Yes.
So I told him, if you're going to be cutting it close, get on the first car and then walk your way back inside the train. That way you know you're on and you just got to find a seat.
Yeah. So I'm on the train. I'm walking. And to be honest, you make a great point, because as I'm walking, you know, from train to train, the doors like keep hitting me. And I'm just like, all right, bro, like what's up with these doors? But I guess there's like a time on them. You got to like press the button.
Yeah. You kept getting hit by the door. That's actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Never a thing I've heard happen before.
Nah, they were hitting me. And I'm just like, all right, I want to fight back too. So I finally get to my seat, and I'm probably on like the 5th or like 6th train, because everybody had already filled up the first couple of trains.
Yeah.
I sit down, and it's probably like 7:08, 7:09. Mind you, I got there like 7:04, and I sat down at 7:09. So it was a pretty quick turnaround. And then I texted Craig. I had enough time before we pulled off to text Craig and say, I made it. And then I want to say at 7:13, we pulled off, so.
Nice.
Getting there was not bad.
That's amazing. I love that for you. How was the actual train ride? Did you enjoy
now,
it?
I will say, so the train ride, I didn't mind. The only part about the train ride that I hated, the connection for my phone was just terrible. I was trying to watch the game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get on my email.
The Wi-Fi. Like, which,
yeah, it was
like,
just all bad.
This is like when people complain about Wi-Fi in the air. Like, I try not to get mad. There are times I've gotten mad at in-flight Wi-Fi situations, and it's more of like, hey, if you said this thing was going to happen, or if, like, I paid for it and then it doesn't work, like, I just want to make sure I get my refund. But I'm only going to get so mad. I'm flying in a metal tube at 30,000 feet, and you don't have the internet? How dare you, right? Same thing on a train. Like, we're rolling at 200 miles an hour or whatever, you know, however fast a train goes through the backwoods of America, getting from city to city in a pretty efficient time. Now, it's not as good as the high-speed rail, and that's a whole different conversation that they got in, like, Europe and Japan. And if it was like the stuff they got in Japan, we could be in New York in an hour and a half. Like, that'd be sweet.
That'd be tough.
Be in Philly in, like, 30 minutes. But the point is, like, it's still pretty good, and the fact that we're on a train, like, how mad are we going to be that there isn't Wi-Fi? But because the routes are through a lot of wooded areas where there's not a lot of people living, I should have warned you. The Wi-Fi is not great. Or the seltzer, either one, not good.
Yeah. So that was really my only complaint. I didn't know where I was, like, several times, so I kept having to do, like, are we getting close? And then he finally showed me there's a map that tells you all the stops. So that made my commute back a little bit more, you know, stress-free. But going up there was, like, it was pretty smooth.
And then you were up there so you could get styled.
Yes. I went up there. I got a couple of fits. I got some pieces that I got to pair with some of the stuff that I already have. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for Paris. And I don't really post a lot, but I think when I'm in Europe, I'm going to get a couple of posts off.
Yeah, you definitely. At least take some pictures, whether they're for you or for the internet. That's between you and you.
Yeah.
But you should definitely take photos and capture it. But yeah, I'm excited for you, bro. How's your French coming along?
It's coming pretty good. Pretty good, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. Hey, look, I still got 9 days. I got 9 days.
You're going by yourself, right?
I am indeed.
You're solo traveling to Paris?
Yes, sir.
Un table pour moi.
Un.
A table for me.
Okay. So, yeah, I need to write that one down so I can rehearse it.
L'addition, s'il te plaît. The check, please.
Yep.
Or just l'addition. What else did I could go through another couple key phrases.
How do you say thank you?
Merci.
Oh, yeah. Merci beaucoup. Okay. Yeah. That is cool.
That was so American. Merci beaucoup. Hey, whatever works. They also mostly speak English.
And I struggle rolling my R's.
They will also have menus in English, which is also very helpful.
Yeah.
And just don't be a hero. Don't ask for the French.
Yeah, I just won't.
Français or anglais? Or anglais?
English, like, please.
English. Thanks. All right. I cannot wait for story time when you get back, by the way.
One last thing. On my ride, so my train back to D.C. was at 4:09. It was the first train out of New York. Craig, when I tell you I got to the airport and I didn't see a long line of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they weren't. They may have been sitting down. But I'm looking for everybody. I go down this escalator and I get onto a platform and there's nobody out there. I'm thinking I'm like stuck down there. They're like chains on doors and like I'm like and that the escalator that I came down didn't have an escalator up. So I had to go back through the door that I came through, run up the escalator backwards, and then I finally saw my group of people that I was supposed to be in line waiting with lining up. So I was like, wow. that was fascinating.
We'll unpack that in the commercial break. Yeah. Logan and I talk about Jaden Daniels next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Take Command podcast I do with, of course, 10-year NFL veteran Logan Paulson. Taped a mailbag this morning. We got a really interesting question about the Commanders quarterback, and I want to let you hear our answers here on the Hoffman Show.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson, and we are in full offseason mode. Logan, we're the mailbag questions. A little thin this week, guys. Let's get those questions in. Now's the time to get the really fun ones in because we got nothing pressing, hopefully, outside of a potential Terry McLaurin contract whenever that comes in. And we got that over the next couple of weeks. But other than that, no real pressing news. So it's a fun time of year in the calendar to do podcasts on whatever it is that we so please. And really, frankly, whatever it is you so please. And so that's where we are here on a mailbag edition of the show. We're also going to tackle our top position groups in the NFC East, which is an annual show that we do. We'll rank the quarterbacks. We'll rank the running backs all the way down on offense, then do a defense episode as well. So those are coming over the next couple of weeks as well. We start today, though, on a mailbag show, Logan, with a question from Giles with a J. Giles Robinson, spelled with a J. Kind of like that. He goes, love the podcast. Question for you and Logan. There has been so much talk about what a sophomore season regression might look like for JD5, but this kid has shown such tremendous work ethic and capability to learn and improve. Why are we not talking about what the season looks like if he progresses in a meaningful way? This is what I expect. Wondering what you think that scenario looks like. Thanks, Giles. I think this question is really fascinating, Logan, because one, for a guy who played at a top five MVP kind of level last year, what does improvement realistically look like? Like, what are the areas where he can improve? And if he does that, what's the offense look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think the reason people talk about the regression quite a bit is because it historically that seems like a more quote-unquote likely scenario. And the other thing, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and at some point I want to bring up, is he might play better and the team plays worse, and it feels like a regression. So I think that's the other thing, too, is like I think you might see a regression in terms of some of his base statistics. Like I think completion percentage, I would assume, probably goes down a little bit this next year. Maybe turnovers goes up. Who knows? But in terms of him getting better, areas for him to get better, I think that's the thing that becomes really tough about the question because he did play so well last year. He made excellent decisions. His footwork's excellent. He's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And so if I were to point to one thing, one area of the offense in general, and this is probably outside of his control because Cliff is calling it, and this is maybe a larger perspective on the offensive improvement, right, is the kind of the throws between the 12 and 18-yard area of the field, specifically over the middle of the field. I think if this offense is to take the next step, I think that's an area you really have to see it grow. I think, you know, they're really good at the quick game. They're really good with the RPOs. They're really good at the pre-snap kind of reads and dinks and dunks, all that kind of stuff. But for the offense to kind of be full in a way that I think will allow him to continue to grow, I think it's that middle area of the field that needs to develop. And that's an area where it's like you got to develop a lot of confidence with your receivers. You got to see that those throws really well. So I think that if I was going to pinpoint one thing where I think like if he improves, that's an area he can improve in. And that's an area where the offense in general can improve in. That's the one I would click to. And if you can do that, I think it makes you just so much more devastating. And I don't know exactly how they get to it. Is it off play action pass? Is it off, you know, the three-step or five-step work from the gun? Like, I don't know exactly how you get there and what he feels most comfortable with, but that's kind of what I'd zone in on for in terms of answering this question.
So let me just ask you a kind of a wider football question, because there are a lot of folks, I think, in football media that are smart people who kind of obsess over that area of the field.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, if you're not hitting deep digs at 15 yards, then you're not a real NFL quarterback. And it's like, well, like, you can there's different ways to skin a cat here. Like let's relax a little bit on the idea that you have to do it that way. Otherwise you're somehow lesser than, and like, you know, these touchdowns down the outside or count for 5 points instead of six or something, like the way some of these guys talk about it. So why is that area of the field so important that so many smart people think it's kind of the key or the highest level of quarterbacking?
Yeah, I think it's really important because I think when you look at throws outside the numbers, there's less variables there, right? It's like if you think about in cover three and you're throwing a go, you're dealing with a corner, right? So I am seeing a corner and I'm making a throw there, right? If I'm throwing a comeback, I'm seeing with a corner and maybe a hook player or a flat player, and I got to kind of navigate and throw that. if I really want to open up the field and stress the defense, not only in terms of we're talking levels here, but think about it, the ball moving towards the hashes, towards the middle of the field. If I really want to stress every ounce of the defense across that, what is it, 56 yards that they, in terms of width of the field, I have to be able to work the middle of the field, right? And I think the other thing about those throws outside the hash is they tend to be a little bit lower percentage, right? Goes, like everyone loves throwing a fade, but they are a low percentage throw. Those deep comebacks are very tough to throw. Like you need a big arm, need a really dynamic kind of laser beam getting out there. So in terms of like increasing offensive efficiency, if I got a quarterback that can work the middle of the field, work that kind of, 12 to 18 yard area of the field, like that's become such a more difficult offense to manage. I think you look at, and again, this is maybe the data set is maybe biased here, but if you look at Tom Brady, look at Peyton Manning, look at Drew Brees, look at Lamar Jackson last year, look at Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Like as their games have improved, that's the area of the field that has kind of come to light and really been a surface point or a flash point for the offenses. And again, there's a million ways to get there, right? There's a million ways to kind of attack that. Everyone does it a little bit differently. I think another great example is Jared Goff in Detroit. Like one of the things they did is they found creative ways to make it simple for him to attack those levels of the field. And he's a good quarterback. He did a great job of that. But that's one reason why I think Jalen Hurts is kind of in a different tier quarterback, right? Because he's never really develop that element of his game. So the offense always feels a little bit up and down. There's a little bit of variance there because he's always relying on these kind of big throws down the sideline to AJ Brown or the big post or the explosive play, these kind of shot plays down the field. And again, I think national media wise, when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles play, you do feel an element of streakiness to the pass game. And that was covered up last year because they ran the football so well. So for the offense to be better, it doesn't have to be that, but it's when you're just looking at a straight quote unquote deficiency or area where they can get better. That's one where you kind of say, okay, hey, this one seems the most straightforward. And if you want to see him kind of go from like a top 10 quarterback to a top 5 quarterback or a top 12 quarterback to a top 5 quarterback, like this is the area that I think needs to happen because it adds so much more diversity in terms of concepts, so much more stress in terms of what the defense has to defend. And so that's why I think people hone in on this is saying like it just makes your offense down to down more efficient, more difficult to deal with.
So in other words, like there's the second order effects of the defensive stress, but on a first order direct basis, it is a more efficient way to get a lot of yards. In other words, you get a higher percentage of completion percentage than your go balls, your perimeter, you know, deep comebacks for the same amount of yardage. And that is obviously a good way to move the ball down the field. And that's also, I think, how you ultimately close the gap between, say, what Lamar is doing statistically or Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes mm-hmm. and what Jaden did last year, because he was great. By no means am I saying he was anything, but he had 3,500 yards, 3,568 as the yardage total. And it's like, okay, well, if he's got that and the best guys in the league are doing 4,000, 4,500 yards, then obviously there's room to upward grow. Where is that yardage? And so I think the other area that to me gets to one of the answers of the question and would obviously, you know, we're subbing some yards for others here, but he still scrambles a little quickly, I think, or a little quicker than he will when he really gets to the peak of his powers, which is scary to think. Like, again, to be very clear, if Jaden Daniels never gets better and just plays at the level he did last year, the Commanders are going to be fine. They're going to win a lot of football games, and you could win a Super Bowl with the level of quarterbacking he played last year. That's crazy. Rookies aren't supposed to be able to do that.
Right.
But to the point, and to the question, like, what happens if he gets better? How does he get better? Pocket movement, for as great as he is at getting out of the pocket, little subtle moves within the pocket to find a little bit more space and be able to hit some of those balls that you're talking about that need an extra second to develop, or extra half second, extra quarter second to develop, or the ability to just hit a check down and get a guy in space. Like some of those little subtle things that can make life a little easier for him as a passer versus having to earn it as a runner. And maybe he scrambles for 7, but could he have slid up in the pocket and found Terry on a deep late, you know, breaker or Debo breaking free in a scramble situation for 20? And so, you know, 7 yards is a scramble, especially if it's 2nd and 6 or God forbid 3rd and 6. Excellent. 20 yards, better. And so that I think is the area that comes to mind for me is from a purely inside the Jaden Daniels controllable bubble. the in-pocket movement, the intra-pocket movement, I think is the skill set that he is going to continue to develop and will take him to a next level. And by the way, same was true for Lamar, same was true for Josh, same was true for Mahomes. This is what happens from guys that are really good athletes that can do a lot of stuff on the move to becoming the top flight quarterbacks they are in the league.
Yeah, 100%. And so I do think that's an element of that, you know, 12 to 18 yard passing game, right? Is understanding not only like how to shift and buy time in the pocket, but how to anticipate some of those throws, how to create space, how to throw to space maybe is a better way to characterize that. And that's a really hard skill to teach. It's a really hard skill to learn. But I do think he's a guy, like in terms of the question, that a guy that if he can kind of, he seems like he studies enough, he seems like he preps enough, he seems like he's self-aware enough, that's an area that he can improve. And you do see some of that anticipation. You do see some of his leading receivers, the accuracy in the quick game and some of the stuff he did last year. And it's not like they never did it. Like there are examples of throws that where he did that last year. Like I think about the dig to Terry versus Arizona. It's a great throw over the middle of the field. There was one to Luke on the same drive where he's kind of breaking over the middle of the field in the seam. Like he did do stuff like that this season, no doubt about it. But I think just upping the frequency of it and then what that does to the offense. Because again, those deep digs, right? They get first downs, they're higher completion percentages, like all those things factor in. And then I think part of the reason like I've honed in on this specifically in conjunction with the pocket movement, like you mentioned, Craig, is because like he played so well last year. There's not a lot of areas to his game that can drastically improve. Like if you said, oh, can he get better at quick game? I'm like, maybe, but it's going to be really hard to find that inch there because he's already at like 90%. You know, can he get better in terms of decision-making as a scrambler? Like, probably, but like that was pretty efficient last year too. Can he get more efficient on the deep ball? Yeah, but like, are we being realistic with those expectations? So what's the area?
Yeah, I don't know how much better he can actually get as a deep ball thrower.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's where it kind of comes back to this thing where it's like, what's the area of the offense in general that is going to be the most important area to improve? And it feels like it's that area. Now, Cliff did a great job calling the offense last year without that. But I do think if you could find more chunk plays, right, over the middle of the field and that kind of yardage mark, it's going to make it easier. Like we've talked about this before in terms of like regressions and whatever. You know, it's hard to go on 18 play drives. It's very, very hard to do that. And they did that a bunch last year. So is there a way to limit some of that by finding some of these chunks? Yeah. Now, you don't want to go chasing this improvement at the detriment of stuff that you did well last year. That's 100% true, but I do think like this is the thing. This is the moment. This is the monolith, the obelisk that they need to figure out. And you know, watching some of the stuff they did in OTAs, watching some of the stuff in minicamp, obviously they're improving at it, but does that translate to the season would be the thing that I would kind of keep an eye on for the improvement. And if he does improve, like the answer is like you have a top three quarterback in the NFL. So you can right. do whatever you want.
Like, yeah, that big four becomes like, a big five. That's what happens.
I think we were talking about this before, but it's like if he improves, it's like I kind of laughed at the question when you first asked it in the production meeting, but I was like, we just become really good forever. Like as long as he's a quarterback here, like that's the result. You know what I mean? So if right. he does improve, great. Because like you said, like he played well enough to win a Super Bowl last year, right? Obviously the Eagles get you in the playoff game, but I think like people need to understand and appreciate like how, and I think that's why people talk about regression all the time. Like he was so good last year. Part of me is like, where do you go? Like, how do you get better when that was the level of performance you had? And so that's why we're kind of feeling, I feel a nitpicky here talking about this stuff, but that's because it was so right. good last year.
Right. But that's also the difference between being quarterback five and being one of those big four, joining Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson. As for what it means for the offense, you probably go from top 10 to top six. Like, and I think the bigger question in terms of can the offense get into the top five is how efficient is the running game? But, you know, the O-line play is both pass protection and running. Like, that's probably a bigger factor than if Jaden were to improve. I mean, they're also related. Like, that's the other thing. It's like all this stuff is related, which brings us yeah. to one more question about the offense and Jaden and Cliff that I wanted to throw in this section real quick. This one's from Matt Logan. It says, hey, Craig, I got a question for you and Logan on Take Command. I should stop reading intros like that. It's like, no kidding. That's why we're reading the question. Everyone is talking about a potential, and I swear to God, this is not the same question, but it starts basically the same. Everyone is talking about a potential sophomore slump from Jaden, and you two have mentioned how defense has caught on to RG3 and our zone read offense after his rookie year. Kliff clearly brought innovation to the NFL last season with his use of tempo. So my question is, now that defensive coordinators have a year of tape, will they be able to scheme better against our high-tempo offense next year? Or is tempo a viable tactic for the long term and potentially creating an NFL-wide trend going forward? Love the show. Matt.
Is it going to create an NFL-wide trend? I don't think so. But I do think it is one of those tools that become really difficult to manage. Like, so with the zone read, like, it's easy. You get on a chalkboard, you draw something up, you say, what is the zone read actually doing? It's basically saying we have to account for the quarterback. So how do we account for the quarterback? How do we make that decision hard for the quarterback? And now you watch any play in college football. Like, every defense has an excellent plan for zone read. They have an excellent plan for zone read. They have an excellent plan for RPO, and the plays become less effective. When you look at who was the OC head coach in Jacksonville last year? He was the head coach in
Peterson.
Peterson, right? He was one of the reasons that offense initially was so successful with the Eagles is because it was a RPO-based offense, and people did not have a good plan. But as defensive coordinators have gotten more familiar with it, they can figure it out. Are they going to have a tool or a solution to get themselves in better positions? Sure. But is tempo something you're always going to have to negotiate with as a defensive coordinator? Yeah, there's a reason that offenses get more efficient in 2 minutes, right? Because defenses get simpler, right? The offenses can keep a certain amount of complexity, and defenses have to get in some type of base call. And if your quarterback's good enough, they're going to figure it out. I don't know, and I'm not a smart enough guy, and there's probably some dude in a dark room for one of these teams that's like, thinking of all sorts of different ways to do it. I don't know, maybe you call two things from the sideline. You have a version of your hurry up kind of signal offense if you're a different team. Like, hey, we can get to these four coverages and these four pressures off of hand signals, and that's how we're going to deal with it. That would be problematic potentially, but that's also a ton of work for – it's kind of like when teams play triple – like college teams play triple option teams, right? You don't see it enough to have a solution for it, right? Everybody runs RPO. Everyone runs zone read. To my knowledge, we're the number one tempo team in the NFL last year. The Commanders were, right? So does it behoove anybody who's not in our division to have a comprehensive plan for us? Probably not, right? Because it just takes so much time and so many man hours and so much sweat equity to have a decent plan for this. So will Philly have a solution? Probably. Do they need one because they played us so well last year? I don't know. Does New York figure something out? Maybe. But I think it's one of those things that is – it's kind of a core tenet of offensive football is tempo, going slow, going fast. There's different benefits to both, but it's just hard to negotiate because it forces you outside of your comfort zone in a way that those other things we do, that the other examples the question asks don't.
Right. So I have a couple of thoughts based off of the question and based off what you just said. And Quinn actually talked about this on Chris Long's show when he did the interview a couple weeks ago at this point. And he's like, we do it more than anyone else. And I like having that curveball. Like, I like being different. And so being different than everyone else is part of the thing here. Like, part of the reason some of the zone read or pick your trend of the last 40 years of offensive football, some of the reasons that those become less effective is exactly what you just said. Everybody else does them. And so all of a sudden RPO, like, okay, everyone's doing it. We're used to it. But the other thing is it's hard to do. Like, the reason that some of the teams can still do that stuff at a high level, like the Eagles still run a ton of RPO. It still works because Jalen Hurts is really good at it. Like, he will make the right read, and the defense fundamentally is in a bind based off of that. But if you can shut that stuff down, the question becomes, is whatever the next counter is, are you good enough at that? Because every defensive decision opens up another hole. Like, ultimately, NFL defense is playing whack-a-mole. And you just have to hope that the quarterback isn't good enough to reach whatever, you know, mole pops up out of the ground. And that's kind of going back to the first thing that we talked about here. The problem for other teams is Jaden Daniels is amazing at whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You shut down the read option. You shut down the RPO. Okay, well, now we're just going to go quick game. Okay, you shut that down. Okay, well, now he's going to hit you over the top with the deep ball. Like, there's nothing he doesn't do well. And that fundamentally is the problem. Now you speed that process up. We're at a speed that he can handle from a decision-making standpoint, and that simplifies your defense. And that's why it's so devastating. Because defenses, even if you have four coverages and four calls, okay, fine. He'll learn the four. He'll understand. Kliff is also really smart.
Yeah.
And they'll get on the sideline in 5 minutes and figure out your stuff. And so that's the problem is, like, he, whatever club he needs to hit, he's got it in the bag. And at that point, it's just how long till he figures you out.
And this is a really interesting kind of philosophical football question. And it's the one of verbiage, like how you communicate your offense. And I do think like people, you know, I come from a very verbose background with Kyle and Sean, right? They used to love long play calls, telling everybody what to do, different formations, different adjustments. And it gets, and as an offensive coordinator, it gives you more control. But all of a sudden, when it's time to play fast or play with tempo, it's really challenging to modify that style of offense to fit a hurry-up environment. And so one of the things I think about Cliff is he's built this in a – I haven't talked to him, and I'd love to talk to him about this. Like, and it's something that I'm trying to, like, catch him in the hallway and be like, hey, man, like, you know, what are you thinking here? But, like, one of the things is, like, they've obviously constructed the offense where they can just get to a – I want to say it feels like they can get to about 90% of their offense through hurry-up, which is such a unique paradigm because most teams have a package. This is our hurry up. This is our 2 minute. This is our Apache, right? Like kind of your hurry up, muddle huddle type deal. But this feels like you can get to so much diversity. So even though I said there's like a three package thing, but I can get to 3x1, I can get to 4x1, I can get to empty, I can get to heavy, all in the paradigm of the offense with whatever hand signal, verbiage, cue that they're using to get the formation and the play called at the line of scrimmage. And I think defensively, like that's complicated. That's a structural thing that you've built into your offense. Like, so for example, I'm an OC at a high school, and I love when the head coach comes up to me and says, hey, man, we got to play faster. Because it seems like a simple solution. Oh, hey, well, we'll do this. But then you have to think of how to construct this offense that you've built and apply it to a hurry up environment, hand signals, code words, changing code words every week.
Also personnel.
100%, man.
Like,
it becomes crazy
complicated. This is the benefit of the Commanders having guys like Eckler and Ertz and, you know, pick your receiver that can line up inside or outside. They can line up in the backfield or as split out. They can line up as a tight end or split out. Like, they have built a comprehensive ecosystem to do this, starting with the quarterback and the play caller, but then going down to all of these other things, which it also makes it very hard to replicate.
Yeah, and so I think that's ultimately what you come back to is like, yes, if this was the zone read, if I can explain zone read to you in 30 seconds, I can think of a solution in 5 minutes. If I can run my whole offense and hurry up, how do I hurry up my defense? Like, I can't do it. It's just too much diversity. It's too much flexibility. And plus, you got a quarterback who's a baller, man. He does a lot of good stuff at the line of scrimmage, which I think is something that we sleep on. We didn't talk about it at the beginning, but his ability at the line of scrimmage to kind of get in the right play, find the matchup that he wants is devastating. And when you look at it, they're not going like 1,000 miles an hour, but what they're good at is getting the line of scrimmage, getting lined up and forcing the defense to get a call in. And again, like I can talk to some people around, you see if there's a solution, but there doesn't seem to be one that handles the diversity of the Commanders offense and the hurry up element. So I think there's a lot of teams that could handle the simplicity of a 2 minute, the simplicity of a straight hurry up, but I can't handle your whole offense in a hurry-up situation, which is what they've apparently gotten to, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'll tack on one other thing here. And like, we could probably do this for the rest of the show if we wanted to get in detail. We might lose some folks along the way because it can get real nitty-gritty. But like, there's also other tactical things that they do that, again, work in conjunction with the hurry-up, right? Like some of their splits, the way that they're wider and they like make the defense declare it. And it's like, okay, Fine. You have a couple extra calls in this week. The couple extra calls are useless because you're not going to run that against this formation. Right. And so there's certain things that they do with where Ertz lines up or how wide the receivers are. Some of those like wide double stack looks, like they will make you declare. And now Jaden's shooting fish in a barrel because he knows exactly what the defense is. And so it's the combination of the scheme, the personnel, and a quarterback who can do everything and is really freaking smart, communicates at a high level. And by the way, the last piece I'll say is Dan Quinn, a head coach who preaches all of that stuff at a really high level across both offense and defense, the communication piece. And that obviously has led to a whole lot of success in year one, and we'll see if they can repeat it in year two.
Want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app. Hey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.